So I hear that in LA there is a famous film star coming, Shah Rukh Khan, or some wonderful singer, Kumar Sanu Chauhan, what is her first name? Anyway, so what do I do? Or maybe a famous rock star, Mariah Carey or somebody. So what do? I 2 months ahead, I buy the tickets online, I get the second row so that I can see them. I want to see them closely. Go several hours ahead, go through the LA traffic so I shouldn't be late. Program finishes and come home around 1 o'clock. Ah, I saw this famous artist. Or the Super Bowl, I have tickets, or a World Cup. And so what do? I get in the plane, fly to that city, stay in the hotel. Why? So I can see those, football players or those famous cricketers hitting the ball. That is good. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to these, but we spend so much time and energy going to all these places to see others, see a show or a musician or. But how much time do we spend in trying to see ourselves? That is ultimately what is required, is to see who you are. See is not in the sense of seeing through the eyes, but knowing. So that's why whenever in Gita Bhagavan says Pashyan, Pashyahi, what he means is see within and know who you are. And that is the main message of the Bhagavad Gita, is that instead of trying to see things in the world, try to see within who you are and what is my purpose, what is my goal in life. And last week, Bhagavan had told us, Yatro Paramate Chittam Niruddham Yoga Sevaya Veti Yatra Na Chaiva Yatra Chaivatmanatmanam Pashyan Atmani Tushyati. Seeing the self by the self, he delights in the self. So what it means is that this Atma, the self, cannot be seen with the eyes, but can be experienced within as Om, as my true nature. I think there are some new people. I'll just briefly summarize this chart. So my equipment is body, mind, and intellect. That is how I function. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my habits, my tendencies that make me do what I do. And Om is God's presence within us, what we call as the life principle or self or Atman. There are many names. So that one Atma is there everywhere. That is not that my Atma is different from your Atma. This one Om is all pervading. This Brahman, this consciousness is there in plants, animals, birds, fish, humans, even in rocks. It is there everywhere. So that consciousness, Brahman, is who I am. That is what this person wants to know. And before that, Bhagavan Sri Krishna had given us all the techniques for meditation, how to sit, how to breathe, how to chant, and then also how to live our life in moderation. And once this person experiences this joy of meditation, he experiences extreme peace, prashantam. So that is what we have studied so far. So today, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is going to give us what is the benefit we can hope for. Why should we meditate? Why should we go on the spiritual path? Those who have gone on the spiritual path, what is it that they have accomplished? And why do people spend so many years studying, meditating, praying? So these three verses give us the goal and the benefit of going on the spiritual path, going on this path of meditation, which is the goal of the sixth chapter. The entire chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. So verse number 21, chapter 6. Sukham Atyantikam Yattad Buddhigrahyam Atindriyam वेत्ति यत्र न चैवायम् स्थितश्चलति तत्वतः तुगलत् सुखम् आत्यन्तिकं यत्तद् बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेत्ति यत्र न चैवायम् स्थितश्चलति तत्वतः.
It's running, right? It's on? Yeah, it's moving.
Tony turn. So what happens for to this meditator, to this yogi or this person who is on the spiritual path? What does he accomplish? Sukham. Sukham means joy. But atiyantam, that which has no end, which is beyond end. So endless joy. Atyantikam yat tad. And this particular joy is of what kind? Buddhi grahyam. It can be understood by the intellect. Ati indriyam. But it is beyond the senses. So our idea is that the intellect can only experience what the senses give us, right? What I can see, what I can hear, what I can smell, taste, touch, feel, experience. So this particular knowledge cannot be experienced by the senses. That means eyes cannot see it, ears cannot hear it. Ears cannot hear it, then why are we sitting here? Then, you know, we should go home and watch TV. In fact, it is even said in the Upanishad that it cannot be pravachanena labhya. So even by lectures, by talks, by discourses, this knowledge cannot be obtained. So then why do we go to these Mahatmas? Why do we listen to all the Swamijis that come? So we will talk about that. So they say this knowledge cannot be experienced through the senses. That includes the mind and the intellect. But at the same time, it says buddhi grahyam, intellect can get it. So it seems like a contradiction, because the Upanishad says, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Mind cannot get it, speech cannot describe it. And then it another place it says, buddhya sukshmaya, it can be known. So why this contradiction? We'll talk about that. So this knowledge can be obtained by the intellect, but it is beyond the senses. So why these two different things are being said? Veti, and this meditator knows, yatra na, having gone there, sthita, having established in this knowledge, sthita evayam, in this knowledge, na chalati tatvatah, he never gets deviated from the path, never get deviated from his goal, never gets deviated from his understanding, never gets deviated from the reality. That is what Bhagavan Sri Krishna is telling us. So, ati anta sukha. So, this person experiences joy which never ends. What is our experience in this world is ati anta dukha. Right? Our experience is constant dukha. I may have dukha, then I get little bit of sukha, then again dukha. So like I was very hungry. I was very, very hungry and I had just had a dinner, but I said, dinner is not full. I need to go have a dessert. So what do? I go to Rosemary's and order their triple sundae. You know, 3-flavor ice cream. And by time I am done, that was wonderful ice cream. But then dukkha comes with sukha, and then dukkha. Why? Because I overate. Now my stomach hurts. Now I don't feel good. So in life, we find that when I'm lacking something, I have dukkha. And then I get it. Then there is a temporary sukha. But sooner or later, whatever I have obtained, I have to give up. My relationships, I have to give up. My children, my family. Children, we love them. First we don't have children, we have dukkha. Then we get the child, then there is sukha. And then the child moves away to college and then doesn't call me, then dukkha. Or gets married and then the daughter-in-law doesn't want to talk to me, extreme dukkha. So So life is always, or if nothing else, you say, okay, money gives me joy, house gives me, how long? Ultimately, we have to leave it, right? Ultimately, there is nothing you can take with you. Whatever I love, whatever I collected, all my life, I have to give up. And that's extreme dukkha, because not only I have to give up the body, but all the objects, for people that I loved, everything. So the end of every endeavor in life is dukkha. That one has to understand, that temporarily there will be sukha, but nothing in this world will give me permanent sukha. The end of everything is ati antam dukkha. So that one has to very clearly understand. Yes, we need things. I'm not saying that we don't need possessions, but to think that they will give me eternal joy, then it's like you're looking in the wrong place. You know, looking in the wrong place. Isn't there a song, country searching for love in all the wrong places? So that is what we are doing. We are searching for happiness in all the wrong places instead of finding it where it is with us. So sense organs, as we said, can only tell us about the world. But they say buddhi grahyam. This buddhi can get it. On the one hand, you say, no, buddhi cannot get it. And then you say, buddhi can get it. So please make up your mind. So what the Upanishad tell us is that there are three, as we all know, there are three gunas. Rajas, tamas, rajas and sattva. So tamas is ignorance, wailing, and rajas is agitation. And so our mind is constantly floating between these three. Tamas, which is ignorance, rajas, which is agitation, or sattva, which is purity, knowledge. So as we get this knowledge and as we practice more karma yoga, more bhakti, more service, more love for God, slowly my ignorance gets less, tamas gets less. Then as my tamas gets less, my agitation gets less, my disturbances get less. Because more and more as I study the scriptures, more and more as I pray, my mind is centered within, and that's where, as we had studied in the previous weeks, I get the inner peace. So buddhi, which is sattvic, which is predominantly sattvic, so the rajas has agitation is reduced, ignorance is reduced, and my mind is full of pure sattva, then such a mind and such an intellect, when that is directed towards this knowledge, then that intellect ends. And the Lord alone becomes. So the buddhi has to be made extremely sattvic. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna, all the later chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, 14, 17, 18, spends a lot of time in what is sattvic. So what is sattvic food? What is sattvic action? What is sattvic jnana? What is sattvic sacrifice? So as our mind becomes more and more pure, it more and more can stay established in the Lord, and ultimately in that deep silence of meditation, even the buddhi disappears. So the meditator meditated and meditating all become one, and that alone, the consciousness alone remains, all of these ends in that. So that is called sattvic buddhi, which is established in that wisdom, and then ultimately even that buddhi has to disappear for that experience of the truth. So when these masters experience the truth, then even the thought that I am experiencing goes away. You and I are not there yet, so for us it is, but that's what the masters say, that is the final experience. And as we practice, as you meditate, you may get glimpses of that. For a while the mind becomes completely still, and I'm experiencing nothing, and then again the thought comes. So that is practice. The more we practice, the more we will experience this inner state of silence. There's a beautiful story of Tulsidas ji. As you know, Tulsidas ji was a great devotee of Ramchandra ji, and so this Ramchandra ji and Sita were sleeping in their palace, Sita ji, and they had just come back from Ayodhya, and Ramchandra ji was the king and Sita ji was the queen. Sita ji hadn't gone yet, you know, later on when she was sent away. And so at 4 o'clock in the morning, Tulsidas ji comes. Bhavati Bhiksham Devi, Oh, mother, please give me bhiksha. 4 o'clock in the morning, loudly he is calling. And everybody was sleeping. The guards were standing. Ram and Sitaji were sleeping. So they heard. So they didn't say, arey, 4 baje aaya, let him go somewhere else. No, you know, Atithi Devo Bhava, guest is our God. So they both got up and came down. They didn't tell the guard, you know, give him something and send him away. No, Atithi has come. It is my job to personally give him. So they came. So they said, Tulsidas ji, why are you coming at 4 o'clock in the morning? This time you are asking for bhiksha. So he says, for me, he says, see, 4 o'clock would be a time for somebody who has eaten at night. Then you can say he shouldn't wake up at 4, he should wake up later. But I have not eaten all night, I am hungry. So for me, 9 p.m. is same, 2 a.m. is same, 4 a.m. So I have come for bhiksha, I have come for food. So Ramchandraji says, but I have given so much food. The whole world is full of annam. There is so much food. There is so much in my kingdom. There are so many places where you can just go and get food, whatever you want. I have established, you know, these dharamshalas and these places. Just go. And why are you here at 4 o'clock in the morning? There is so much in the world. He says, Bhagwan, listen to me. He says, whatever you have given us in the world, what does it do? It creates dependence, creates attachment. And then I either become a bhogi or become a rogi. So what it means by bhogi? That I want more and more. I got food, I want better food. I got little money, I want more money. Bhogi. And then the overindulgence in bhoga creates roga. Overindulgence in anything. Overindulgence in food. Food, as I said, little bit is good. But too much creates problem. Same thing. Little bit of anything is good, but too much of power, again, it creates problem. Too much of, you know, strength, too much of anything that little bit to some extent is good, but excess creates problem. So he says, Bhagwan, I don't want anything from the world, because anything I get in the world, either it creates dependence or makes me ill. I want what you have. And I want you. That's why I'm here 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's what Bhagwan understands. He says, this is a wise person. He's not asking for bhiksha in the form of food. And that's what he says. Ramchandraji blesses him and says, you will always have me in your heart. So the point is that when we go to the Lord, or when we go to the temple or church or mosque, you should not ask God for other things. Ask for him. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Come to me, come in my heart. I know you are in my heart, but let me experience your presence. Let me know you, let me see you. Like, you know that song, Darshan Do Ghanshyam Nath Mori Akhiya Pyasi. So I'm thirsty to see you, but experience that. So that is called the true vision you want. And our sense organs get exhausted, you know, continuous experience. As I said, You eat something, after a while you get tired. Or you say, I'm going for picnics. Okay, every weekend I'm going to go to the beach, to the lake, to the mountain. After 4 or 5 weekends, you say, I'm tired of going every weekend out. This weekend I'm going to stay home and do nothing. I am exhausted. Or people say, you know what, I'll go on a pilgrimage. So 40 days you go to the pilgrimage, all the, you know, various centers, you know, Kashi and Varanasi and all of those, and Char Dham and all, and even Kailash. After 40 days, you say, I'm tired now. Even too much spirituality, I pilgrimage. Now I want to go home to my bed. And somebody comes and says, you know, there is a 40-day free pass. You can see all the pilgrimage centers in the South India now. You have seen North India. He says, nahin, nahin, bas ho gaya, no. So the point is that anything, even something like this, anything that is experienced by the sense organs will eventually lead to exhaustion. So these are good. I'm not saying that the pilgrimage places are not good, but ultimately the Lord that is outside is also the Lord within. That is the understanding. And once somebody has experienced that, then he becomes undisturbed. Then once I have been established in the truth, then such a person is never disturbed from this truth. And we'll talk a little more about that. And we already talked about mind cannot experience, and the subtle buddhi, sukshma buddhi. What is the subtle buddhi? Subtle intellect is the one that A is undisturbed, without agitation, and knows the truth, has heard the truth from his guru or her guru. And when I have heard this with my mind still, where I have totally understood it, then such an intellect can grasp it. So if our mind is disturbed, our mind is thinking of many other things, and at the same time I'm listening or reading, then such a mind cannot grasp the truth. A mind which is subtle, which is not agitated, not too much rajas, not too much tamas, but sattva. And how do we experience this? So the beautiful example they give, like I go into a dark room, the lights are not on, and I'm looking for a book. So I have, all I have is a flashlight. You know, the power is gone or something has happened. And so I go with the flashlight and I'm looking around, and then I see the book. Oh, there's the book. So immediately, okay, I pick up the book. Now there are three things required. The book is there, there's a flashlight, and then there is me, the knower of the book. So all three are required to see the book. But now suppose it is daylight and I want to see the sun. So I don't go out with the sun and show the flashlight to the sun. Because the sun is self-luminous. Sun does not need anything else to show it. Sun, by looking at it, I know the sun is out. So similarly, this Atma, the consciousness, the Lord within, is self-luminous. Through the consciousness, when the consciousness through the mind and intellect illumines the world of objects. So the mind and intellect are like the flashlight. And the world that we are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, is like that book. So the mind and intellect is the flashlight. The world is the book that we saw. But the consciousness within does not need a flashlight to illumine it. It is self-luminous, like the sun. So the mind and intellect cannot illuminate, but when the mind and intellect become pure and quiet, then in that quietude, the self reveals itself. So that's why you pray to the Lord, you know, reveal yourself to me. May I know you, may I see you. So that should be our prayer, not may I have this or may I have that. Yes, if there is a problem and sorrow, you can go pray. But ultimately, God should be for. Because whatever I am getting is a result of my karmas. So why blame anybody else? But oh God, just give me the strength to bear all the sorrows that come without complaint. See, that is the number one. Any sorrow that comes, I should bear it without complaint and ask the Lord for strength and ask the Lord for wisdom. In fact, our shloka with the children is also that. Today is based on these verses. So it is a swadhina sukha. All our other joys are paradhin. Paradhin means dependent on something or dependent on somebody. If I have this person, I have joy. But the joy experienced within does not need anybody else. I do not need anybody else's. So that's why it is called swadhin sukha. It is dependent on myself, not on something else. So that is called Atyantikam Sukham, which can be understood by the intellect.